Let us read together one more time these verses 16 and 17 from the Romans chapter 1. We just read it moments ago, but let's do it again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your holy scriptures that are revealed to us, and we have full access to your wisdom and to your will for our lives and for the whole world. We thank you, Lord, for your acts in the past, that you've been so faithful in restoring and continuing open people's heart and restoring the gospel of grace throughout the history. And we thank you for every generation that you kept your people, and you've been raising people for the occasion, every generation, people proclaiming the gospel of grace. And now we can hear the same gospel of grace, loud and clear. And we ask that you would open our hearts and open our mind and give us faith to follow along, follow your word and follow this heritage of the people of the past. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful Sunday morning that we can get together and worship you as your holy people, redeemed by your Son, Jesus, who was sacrificed in our behalf. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be free in Jesus and celebrate your faithfulness and celebrate your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with you again this Sunday. And today, the church around the world remembers a day that literally changed history. October 31st, 1517. Over 500 years ago, on October 31st, 1517, a humble Augustinian monk named Martin Luther walked up to the castle church door in Wittenberg, Germany, and nailed his 95 theses. That's 95 points for academic debate to protest the sales of indulgences. And my wife and I were blessed last summer. We were able to visit that very same place where the Reformation began. It was very great time for both of us, an unbelievable experience, realizing that you can touch the history, literally touch the history. We saw that very same church building, and there's no longer the same gates where the 95 theses were nailed, because it's burned down. But later, I think in some late 18th century or something, the Kurfürst, the king in Germany, in that particular land, was ordered to restore the church gates, and now it's metal gates with all these 95 theses in Latin carved in the door. It was just an amazing experience to touch the history, literally touch the history of the Reformation. So, but behind that act of bravery from Martin Luther was something far greater: the sovereign hand of God reforming his church, reviving the gospel, and calling his people back to the authority of Scripture and the grace of Christ. We celebrate not man's work, my brothers and sisters, but God's work. the God who kept His promises when He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As Matthew 16:18. The Reformation was not a human rebellion, it was a divine restoration. As we remember it today, let us look again at the heart of the gospel, the truth that the righteous or the just shall live by faith. But we should also remember and remind ourselves the darkness before the dawn. Let's spend a moment to thinking what was Europe, what the Europe looked like before the Reformation, and the church had largely lost sight of the gospel. Tradition had replaced scripture. Superstition had replaced faith. Human effort had replaced divine grace. Europe's religious consciousness has been split in two, creating a gap between faith in the church, which has been the spiritual guide for many generations, and the understanding of its current inadequacy in this role. The sale of indulgences in Germany was entrusted to the Dominican monk named Johannes Tetzel, an unscrupulous man willing to violate any propriety to sell his stuff. He was gifted in this matter. For example, Tetzel and his preachers claimed that the indulgences they sold made sinners purer than they were immediately after baptism, purer than Adam before the fall, and that the cross of the indulgent seller has more power than the cross of Christ. Those wishing to purchase an indulgence for a deceased loved one were promised that as soon as the coin rings, the soul, like an arrow from a bow, flies out of purgatory. Statements like this have made many educated people mad. I wonder why. People knew that Tetzel and his preachers were twisting the teaching of the church. People were told they could earn God's favor through indulgences, pilgrimages, or penance. The cross of Christ was obscured behind layers of man-made religion. But Scripture says, none is righteous, no, not one, in Romans 3:10. And then later in Romans 3:20, Paul adds, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Man's problem was not ignorance, it was sin. And sin cannot be removed by money, efforts, or rituals. As Isaiah declared in 64:6, all our righteous deeds are like polluted garment. But God, who is rich in mercy, never leaves His people in darkness. As in every generation, He raised up voices like St. Augustine's, Bernard of Clairvaux, Anselm of Canterbury, Peter Waldo, Wycliffe, Huss, Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, who cried out, Ad fontes, back to the sources, back to Scripture, back to the Gospel. And now we need to talk about the Gospel recovered and the five solas. The Reformation was not about creating a new church. It was about returning to the original Gospel found in Scripture. Later, it was summarized in five Latin phrases known as the five solas, each one a pillar of biblical faith. And first one is sola scriptura. Scripture alone is our highest authority. No church tradition, no papal decree, not even human reason. As 2 Timothy 3:16 states, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for their reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. In Luther's day, the Bible was chained to church pulpits. when it was translated into the language of the people, German, English, French, it set hearts on fire. It really did. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, Psalm 119 says. Dear friends, in our generation, the Bible is more accessible than ever, yet less read than ever. We cannot honor the Reformation while neglecting the very book it restored. Let us be people who live under the authority of God's Word, reading it, loving it, obeying it. Amen? Sola Gratia is the second solo. The Reformation rediscovered the salvation, that salvation is by grace alone. Period. Not just 99% of God's grace and then 1% of my own effort. No, 100% grace. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercies. Titus 3:5, and also Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Luther once said that before he understood grace, he hated the phrase, the righteousness of God, because he thought it meant the standard he had to reach, had to meet. But when he read Romans 1:17 with new eyes, he realized that God's righteousness is a gift, not a demand. That moment, often called Luther's Tower experience, was his conversion. He said, I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise. Grace means you can stop trying to impress God. You don't need to earn what has already been freely given in Christ. So the third sola would be sola fide. Faith alone. Faith is how we receive salvation, not our works. The sinner is justified by faith alone, not by work. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law, Romans 3:28. And to the one who does not work but believe in him, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Romans 4:5. Faith doesn't save because it's strong. Faith saves because it looks to Christ alone. It's not the quality of your faith that's important, but the object of your faith, that's what saves. And then next sola would be Solus Christus. The medieval church, only Christ it means. The medieval church thought that grace was distributed through priests and saints. But the Reformation declared that Christ alone is the mediator between God and man. As 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Our salvation rests not on the church, not on the sacraments, not on ourselves, but on Christ's finished work on the cross. Christ is not merely part of your salvation. He is your salvation. When we stand before God, our only plea won't be, I tried my best, but Christ died for me. And the last sola would be soli Deo gloria. To God only glory. To God alone be the glory. Not to man, not to the church, or any other earthly power. The Reformation concluded that all of salvation, from beginning to the end, exists for one purpose, one and only purpose, the glory of God. For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Romans 11:36. The Reformation reclaimed worship from being a performance for people and made it again a response to God's grace. The Reformation was not a new doctrine. It was a return to the apostolic faith, to the gospel Paul preached, the gospel that transforms sinners into saints. And we also need to remind ourselves and to be trained to see the sovereignty of God in the Reformation. The Reformation was not a lucky accident of history. It was the sovereign plan of God unfolding. It was not the courage of few men, but the irresistible grace of God working through them. Through Luther, Calvin, and other reformers, they weren't heroes. None in their own making, they were instruments in the hands of the sovereign God. Just as God raised Moses to deliver Israel, He raised Luther to deliver His word to His people. Just as God raised prophets to call His people to repentance, He raised Calvin to reform the church by the word. And as John Calvin himself wrote, when God wishes to renew His church, He raises up extraordinary men by His sacred power. This reminds us that revival and reform are never man-made. The Spirit of God alone awakens dead hearts, restores truth, and reforms His church. And this same sovereign grace is at work today. The Reformation did not end in the 16th century. It continues wherever the Word of God is preached faithfully. The sacraments are rightly administered, and the glory of God is upheld above all. And my brothers and sisters, I'm here to declare that the Reformation continues. One of the great reformed mottos is, now I can show off my Latin, Ecclesia reformata semper reformanda secundum verbum Dei. The church reformed, always being reformed according to the word of God. Church is always being reformed. This means we do not celebrate the Reformation as a closed chapter in the history, but as a living call to ongoing repentance and renewal. We must reform our hearts, repenting daily of our pride, self-righteousness, our spiritual laziness probably the most. We must reform our churches, ensuring Christ remains the center of every worship and teaching. We must reform our homes, bringing scripture, prayer, and grace back into our family life. And as we do, we proclaim to the world that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and to the glory of God alone. Let us pray together. The righteous shall live by faith. Lord, we thank You that the cry of the Reformation still echoes today. That the same gospel that transformed Luther and Calvin is the gospel that transforms us. We thank you that we are not saved because of what we do, but because of what Christ has done for us. We're not justified by our righteousness, but by His righteousness imputed to us. We ask that we'd be able to live by faith, faith in the finished work of Jesus, who lived the life we could not live, died the death we deserved, and rose that we might be declared righteous before God. So today we want to give all glory to God for the Reformation and for letting us continue in our hearts, our homes, and our churches. Soli Deo Gloria. Amen.